So hello and welcome to the Entrepreneur Summit Series. I am so delighted to introduce my next guest. As far as the book Creating Business Beyond This Reality, she really does this. She's done this, and it's kind of defied all odds. It's always curious to me which country she's in when I reach her. Right? Because it's never the country you might expect. It's always a different country. So I have a global traveler, access conscious facilitator, a fantastic teacher, and a business extraordinaire, Cass Thomas. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Pleasure to be here. And I'm actually at my home in Rome for this. Everyone's so surprised. They always say, oh, what are you doing around here? Just passing through?
You know, let's just start there for the fun of that whole theme of like travel and conscious travel and travel and business. And tell me a little bit about the energy of that for you and how you're able to, you know, one day you'll be teaching in Poland and then you were saying you did a class and it was translated in Japanese and then, you know, you're comfortable in New York City. So tell me.
Where you get all those languages, right?
Yeah, that's true. So yeah, just tell me a little bit about that for the fun of it.
You know, yeah, I really, my mom, I grew up around my mom, which I guess a lot of people did, but and she was always so delighted and curious with different people from different places and friends of, you know, from different backgrounds. So for me, it's always been in a part of my life, people from all over the world, right? And I just love it. I get excited when there's different languages being spoken around me. There's the other night, I just came back from München, which is Munich, right? And I was sitting there with a friend of mine, a girlfriend of mine. She lives in Sweden, but she's Serbian. And so the waiter was like, where are you guys from, right?
Yeah. And tell me.
She said, well, I live in Sweden and she lives in Italy. And I was like, okay, well, wait a minute though. Right. And I said, but she was born in Serbia and I was born in Boston in the United States. And he said, oh, that's nice. And he's talking, et cetera. And I was like, well, where are you from? You know, we're in Munich. He could be German. He could not. He said, well, actually I was born in Serbia too. And I was like, really? And I was like, guys, don't worry about me. Talk amongst yourselves. Because I really love hearing
it. It's so fun to hear different languages, right?
It's so yeah. Fun, and there's such an ease with it. And I love the sound of it. So it's I feel at home everywhere, right? And so that it's our planet, isn't it? And so what part of it is not our home? Yeah, so that's
what I love.
That. Yeah,
it's tell me how many languages do you actually speak?
That's a good question. I would say 4.
Wow.
And I play with a lot of other languages.
So you speak French, Italian?
French, Italian, English. You uh-huh. might have noticed that, right?
Yeah.
And I used to speak Spanish before I learned it, before I Italian sort of pushed it out of the way. But the other day I ran into a woman from Spain and I just started speaking to her in Spanish. I've been asking my Spanish to come back for a long time. And it didn't completely disappear, but with a couple of weeks, you know, it's coming into my life. I made a video with a guy. I was speaking some Spanish, and so it's coming back into my life. So I would say 4 is I would include Spanish because estoy hablando en español.
Right, no problem. You know, tell us a little bit about the chapter that you created in the new book on, you know, kind of. It's a theme that you have of like creating the business that works for you. It's like the theme. It's like creating a relationship that works for you from the other book.
Right.
You know, creating money that works for you from the other book. So tell me about creating a business that works for you, and maybe go ahead and share how you had to defy some of the experts.
Well, you know, I mean, just it's actually the conversation we're having, because when I look at my life, when I look at what brings me joy, what gives me the joy that allows me to create, right, with ease. And it is that multilingual, cultural, geographical existence and play. So a lot of times when I was working, I talk in the chapter, Creating a Business That Works For You, I talk about all the work I've done, all the jobs I've had, all the projects I've created, and I talk about them. I mean, at 14, I was working on an ice cream truck because my mom and dad would give me a little allowance, but I wanted, more, when you get to be a teenager, you want to buy some more stuff, right? So I started working on an ice cream truck. Always loved working with people. We'd go to different neighborhoods. Now, that's something that exists in the States that doesn't necessarily exist other places. But, the trucks that go to the neighborhood, right, and sell, right, ice cream, mainly kids. And then, always working after school and working with my mom. And so I've been working, all my life. And moved to Paris at 21 and then back to New York and then in Rome for 20 years. I've worked in three different countries at least, and now I work around the world in different countries, but I mean lived and worked and played. And so when I started really coming into my own with business, I got how limited people make their businesses, create their business from, right, a limited point of view. So I thought, all this enthusiasm, all this creation, mm-hmm, if I were choosing a business for me, what would it be, right? And so I started asking people, because sometimes you don't see what's right in front of you. And people were like, I don't know what your business would be, but anything I do, any creation I have, I love to solicit your input because it just always contributes more. And I was like, well, maybe that is my... Maybe I'm my business, well, right?
Right. Like, it's like everyone says, okay, you need to get known for, being the very best maker of little tiny diamond necklaces with little tiny rings on it. And then everyone will just come to you when they want a little tiny diamond necklace with little tiny rings on it. And that is such a narrow perspective. And I have to say, it's not wrong. Like, it's definitely not wrong. Like, somebody who thrives on making one thing and sticking with it and getting known for it and being the best at it, like, how could anyone argue with that? Like, that's fabulous. But if that doesn't fit you, then you're going to be miserable.
It's funny because I had a girlfriend who would make these, it's funny you say necklaces, right? So she would make them and she would infuse them with her energy. What does that mean? Yeah. She would, had studied with the Native Americans and she had, so when she gave someone a necklace, she would give them a reading with it. She would have them choose the necklace based on a series of questions or something like that. And that could work. That's a part of you. That's something that is sort of authentically you. But if it's somebody else's, I've got to tell you, I used to sell socks.
Okay. My mom made socks
in New York.
A little known fact. I'm going to put this on a trivia. What did Cass used to sell besides ice cream?
Exactly. I used to sell these socks. I'm going to tell you, they were horrible socks, right? They were horrible socks. The elastic would come out. And not only that, it was my first job in New York. I was 18. And I was in college. And I would walk around with this suitcase, this little briefcase full of socks, and they were horrible. So it's like, they weren't my socks, right? I didn't believe in them. I didn't wear them. I knew they were horrible. So I couldn't stay with that job, It was like, this is not working.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
No, I'm not going to tell them. The one thing I know, and I've always known, you have to believe in your product, right?
Yeah.
And which is great if your product is for you, like, how much does that help you also get to know you and believe in you, right? To
tell
have
me,
your own back.
Yeah. You work a lot with young people or young business people in consciousness. What stops people up? What really gets people so stopped where they can't seem to have their own business? Or what are some of the blocks you see?
One of the main things I see is they think they have to get it right. And what their idea of right is has very little to do with them, what they know, intrinsically, right? Intuitively, what they think is right is somebody else's model of it. And I always say to people, you can't do somebody else's model. They're already doing that very well.
Right.
What is your idea? What is your model? So one of the things that stops people is needing to be perfect before they start, and also some kind of guarantee that they won't fail. And if they can't see what the end is going to be, then they don't even want to start the journey, which is really sad, because the end it's not about the end, is it? It is about the journey, and the journey changes, you know? You right. get roadblocks, you get construction going off on the road. I mean, I will tell you this story. Yesterday, day before yesterday, right, I came out of the hotel in Munich where I was attending a class, and I'm thinking, I guess I'll just go home because some friends had, you know, had other plans for dinner, and they weren't going to come to dinner with me, and this guy walks by. And he says, do I know you? An American guy. Do I know you? And I was like, I don't know. Do you know me? Well, the short of the long is we walked a block away to listen to open air opera sitting on the ground. He runs home and I said, oh, I didn't really eat. I'm not sure if I can stay that long. He says, oh, I just live right there. So wait here. I'll go get the lasagna I made. We can eat that. Brings back, you know. If I were on the journey and I had to know how it ended, and how it ended was me going back to my hotel to have dinner, pack my bags, and get an early night's sleep, and if it doesn't go exactly that way, then I have failed. The Extraordinary Encounter, which is a series I do, by the way, filming people having these extraordinary encounters, which I have all the time, because wow. I don't need to know the end of the journey. I just,
You know what else, Tess? I tuned into something else, and I really get what you're saying about ask for the magic and then see what shows up. But there was also a little right in the open of that question you shared. You threw something at me, which was making yourself less than others who've done it different or better. And then judging yourself is not as good as them. And then I flashed on that, because as a publisher, there's a lot of examples of people who I feel publish a lot better than me.
How do you know?
Right?
How do you know? Because if you're starting something, how do you know if somebody's done it better if you haven't started? Right? So, that famous line that is, I've never failed. I've just got 1,000 ways that I haven't got it perfect yet.
Yeah. You
know? If you're on the journey, how do you know that you didn't reach your target? Because you're still traveling, you know?
Right. And what is it about our psyche that tries to make other people on the pedestal? Because when I just look at, well, am I serving the people I serve well? And then they tell me yes. Then I'm like, oh, well, that's really interesting that I keep finding places where I'm not good enough. You know what I'm saying?
And even if you weren't serving the people that you serve well, who are the people who can receive what it is you do have? You know what I mean? So that's the creation, the continual creation. Like, right. is this what I have to offer? Is it working for you? No. Okay, thank you for that information. So who can receive what I have to offer? For whom would it be working? You know what I mean?
Right.
Because it's so new, the publishing company.
Right. You know? And, you know, I just love it, because when we talk about creating a business that works for you, I love where you said there's like these places where you think, oh, if it's working for me, it has to be fun all the time. Remember? And then you're like, well, some days you wake up and there's just stuff you got to do.
Yeah.
Tell me about that. And
sometimes, when you know, it's funny, when there's not ease, I ask a question. When I'm feeling frustrated, I'm asking a question. I'm so grateful. When I'm annoyed, aggravated, cranky, ask a question. There's something always that we're, you know what I mean, aware of. And sometimes tasks go so quickly, like getting things out of the way. But if it's drudgery, do something else so that you can have the energy, the space, right? The enthusiasm to get that done, to get to the next place. A lot of people have so many ways of the right way to do business, and maybe they're right. And I certainly am not like, oh, let's not look at them. Let's look at everything. Let's look at, somebody started talking to me about avatars, you know? And I've actually had some of those classes that talk about the right way to market, et cetera, et cetera. So they're not wrong, obviously. It does work, but does it work for you? And can you be you while you're doing it? That's one thing that I come across as me all the time, you know?
Yeah,
so when I'm not being me, you know it. You know, you know it, I know it, we know it, and nobody's saying it, right? So it's like, it's got to actually work for me.
I love it.
First, and when it works for me, it works for other people who are interested in living a life that, and building a business that works for them, because they see, wow, it's working for her. She's not on the street starving. So would I prefer to give like 90% of me up so that I'm living in, you know, a castle is what comes up? Or am I willing to have all of me and live a and style my own life? I talk a lot about styling your life. Right. What life would you like to style? What works for you? What continually works for you? And thank you for this conversation. It's so important to have these conversations with people because you can really buy this reality as the only reality. And what else? What else? The pioneers.
So I have one other question. Just because my audience is the entrepreneur. And one of the things entrepreneurs do sometimes is they believe they're in their own little private planet where there's no help. And you've done a job of building a team around you. And it's something that you really, I, of course, knowing each other, Cass and I were together, we've published and played together for a bit on this planet. Not maybe long enough or enough, but a lot of yummy, good stuff.
And how much more can we play?
And how much more can we create? So how do you get to that place where you're comfortable with a team and dishing things off and having, trusting people to take care of things for you? And just some of those things that I see when I meet a lot of sort of solo entrepreneurs that they haven't been willing to do or allow themselves or enjoy the way you do.
Well, the first thing that I would say for solo entrepreneurs is a couple of things. The one is about giving up a bit of control, right? Being willing to meet someone that is that does something better than you do it, or has more fun doing it than you do, and that's one thing. So giving up control and allowing somebody actually to make a mistake, like how much of a mistake can they make, right? And also, a lot of people I meet that think, well, if I were to hire somebody, I don't really have the money yet to hire them because I'm just starting out with solo entrepreneurs. And so what else do you have that could be a contribution to somebody else? You know what I mean?
Ooh, right. Lots of people, think outside the box.
Yeah. I say to people, if what else could you gift? You know, and how much are your services worth? How much is your speed with numbers and vision with numbers work for somebody else? How often could you have a conversation? I'm mentoring this girl. She asked me, we met in Bali. I do this Bali experience, right, every January. And she was there. She came along 22-year-old, 20, maybe 24. She's studying neuroscience. And she said, I really would love you to be my mentor. And I was like, oh, goodness, this is serious now. Mentor hat, is this the right mentor lipstick on? What is that, you know?
Right.
And she taught me about out of the box because she lives in France, right? And she's from Martinique. She lives in France. She's getting her PhD in neuroscience. And she knew I was going to be in Paris, and she came to meet me. And so she was telling me about a couple of businesses on the side she's doing, right? Total humanoid. And then I said, okay, so, you know, and I gave her lots of questions and, you know, advice, I guess, and my take on it. And then I said to her, okay, well, let's talk about this mentor thing. She said, well, we just did that. I was like, oh, is it that easy? So what is it that you do with so much ease, right? That you know that with the benefit of your input, your advice, your conversation, that can be such a contribution to someone's life, that would be an exchange, a barter system.
Yeah.
It doesn't always have to be about money, really.
I'll tell you something funny I did 10 years ago. One of my friends was joking with me about how she'd rather clean a toilet than do her resume. And I was like, well, I'd rather do your resume than clean my toilet. And we actually traded. And she came over to my house. And while she did some organizing and some fussing and some vacuuming, and I think she did some closets that I just had not wanted to open the door of, you know, and reorganized all my linens. And, you know? And then I built her resume. And it was, of course, I'm beautiful at that. I'm like, I love building resumes. I love showing people for how awesome they are, you know, and leaving out the part. It gives me such joy. And so she leaves after like 4 hours And we figured it was, you know, $15 an hour-ish for fussing at my house. And she got a great resume.
Awesome.
And it was it's just great. Came out of her saying, well, I'd rather clean a toilet than do my resume. I'm like, done.
And what else? Right. Because, you know, for some people, you know, cooking is like, oh my goodness, don't make me cook. I'd be happy to drive you around, but don't make me cook. I love to cook, right? So, and I love to be driven around. So, you know, so what else, right?
I love it.
Creating a business that works for you is about knowing who you are and making sure that you are clear about what you can contribute to the business and what the business is asking for, talking to your business, and then asking for people to show up. Like, I'm asking for a couple of people to show up now that can contribute some stuff, and asking questions, and people pop up all the time. But if you're not asking for them, because you have to ask.
And then you know what? That's really what I see for the avatar too. Like, I just say, what's the energy of the people that want me to work, you know, that want to hire me or whatever. And I do an avatar a little different. I just look for the energy. I don't look for, like, are they 6'3" and have like blue eyes and dark skin or something. Like, yeah. I don't do that.
So that sounds like a very nice looking person. I like the way you think and the energy of the avatar. I like it.
You married him. No, I'm just playing. Yeah, exactly. So I look at the energy, and then I match. I do that with avatar. I kind of do it. I don't really. Well, like you, like anything I'm shown, I'm supposed to do it that way. I'm a rebel, anyways.
Exactly.
I'm gonna say, why not?
This woman I'm working with, that, you know, and I'm not humoring her, but I'm like, fine, yeah, let me give you that, my point of view on it, and let's take also yours, and I can, you know, work with anything, really.
Yeah.
Gary Douglas calls me the woman that can talk about anything, right? So, yeah. Let's just make sure
everyone knows the name of your other book. So tell everyone the name of your beautiful communication.
Well I have my book, 7 Steps to Flawless Communication, which is and then your precious help with that. And then I have chapters from my new book coming out, Dancing with Riches. It should be out by the end of the year. But I have chapters of that in the lovely business book that we're talking about.
And having ease with money, right?
And ease with relationship.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. So it's about, you know, getting into the rhythm of your own life. So that's there we go.
So where can we reach you? Tell us your website and how people can take your class.
The website's easy. Cass Thomas, K-A-S-S Thomas, thomas.com, or 7steps.us for us is the number 7, right? And then steps is the 7 Steps book, which I do teachers training and corporate business training actually with that. And then also you can find me on The Art of Being Cass on Facebook, Being Cass.
Perfect.
Yeah. Being Cass. Perfect. YouTube. That's usually it. Being Cass. Who else am I going to be? Who else is taken?
Well, I'm so glad you're being Cass. Yeah. And thank you for being here with me today.
Thank you for the invitation. You are to authors who may not want to get out there on their own. And you just keep coming up with these delicious invites. And you can't stop that, because how many people have you given the opportunity to? And if you'd like, I'd be happy to interview you, my darling, about your chapter in the book.
Oh, I'm going to be a yes to that. I don't know how that's going to work, but it sounds like a yes. I'm going to just say yes.
Okay, cool.
And I'll turn my video on.
And anything that this book can bring to people, more ease with business and just getting out there. The world may be waiting for what you have to offer, and only the way you know how to do it. So even if you don't know how you know, that you know how to do it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.